It's big interview time on Money Life, and I'm joined right now by Bill Kornitzer, portfolio manager for the Buffalo International Fund, BUFIX, the ticker symbol. And if you want to go look that up and get more information, go to buffalofunds.com. As long as you remember the name of the firm to go check out their website, follow them on Twitter, where they are at Buffalo Funds. Bill Kornitzer, welcome to Money Life.
Thanks for having me on, Chuck.
I appreciate you being here, and I'm really interested in chatting with you right now because from an international standpoint, there is a lot of stuff that is going on in the news that we tend to be focused only on how it affects us domestically. And we've been in this range-bound market where the market can't decide where it wants to go, and it's been maybe reined in a little bit by what we see happening with trade wars. But we've got trade wars here. We've got Brexit in England. We don't think of the trade wars because it's, you know, U.S. and China mostly, although there's U.S. and Mexico and some other things going on. We don't think of the broader impact on global markets, but when you have the two largest economies of the world slugging it out, it seems impossible that you couldn't have a lot of fallout in other areas. So as you look at the market right now, in light of the headlines, where are we internationally right now? And if we're in a holding pattern domestically, is every place else in a holding pattern too?
Every place is in a holding pattern, Chuck. What happens out there is the U.S. really leads the world in terms of the economy, and so goes the U.S., so goes the rest of the globe. So anything that impacts the U.S. economy is certainly going to impact the rest of the world. And you'll notice that just the same as the large U.S. companies have extensive exposure to the various international markets out there through their operations, the large multinational firms that are based in Europe and Japan and Asia have the same kind of exposure to the U.S. So everyone gets affected the same. And what the trade wars is really doing is causing a pause in business. It's like, we don't know what's going to happen, the CEOs tell us, so we're not sure what to do. So it's not business as usual. It's wait and see before we can continue our business as usual.
That being the case, how do you believe that, let's start with the trade war, how do you believe that's going to be resolved? Because for a while it was, okay, we'll have this fight, we'll do it politically, we'll make some political hay of it, it'll be solved, you know, right in time to have the appropriate impact on the market as we get into the election year and we want to show how strong the stock market and the economy are. But now there's a lot more talk that, like, China's not going to necessarily dance to that tune. So how do you think this gets played out?
Well, from a broader perspective, I think we're going to see this trade issue with China extend for years and years, because it's really about, you know, economic dominance of the world and who has the ability to thrive going forward. In the near term, with the issues that's been raised, I think ultimately the two countries are going to come to some agreements. Although, if you look at what's happened to date, where three-quarters of Chinese goods actually have a tariff and virtually all of U.S. goods going to China have a tariff, we in the U.S. haven't seen much of an impact at all, or it's hard to measure. GDP is still growing fine and whatnot. So I don't see any major need to address the trade issue in terms of get it resolved, but it's going to be with us for years and years to come. You know, I think about all the noise that we hear in the U.S. about how the soybean farmers are really getting hurt by all this and whatnot. But if you think about soybeans, it's a global commodity. And so what doesn't get bought in the U.S. gets bought from Brazil. And it's funny, if you look at the prices of soybeans in Brazil or the prices of soybeans in the U.S., they work lock, stock, and barrel to the same tune. The problem with soybean farmers is that we produce way more soybeans in the world than the world needs. That's the problem with soybeans. It's not because China's buying or not buying from us in any given one time, because if China doesn't buy, then Brazil can't supply to someone else, and so we supply to them. So it's a lot of circular logic going on.
Speaking of circular logic, we've seen plenty of that as it surrounds Brexit. So on the one hand, we've got the trade war and how that affects the U.S., China, and then everybody else. On the other hand, you've got Brexit, which, at least when it comes to Europe, is affecting everybody. How do you think that plays out? And what's the likely outcome in terms of, is there any sort of happy ending that would make Europe look like a better place to invest again?
The short answer on Europe is not in terms of the investment climate overall. It would be great for Europe and the UK to get past this. I talked to a CEO last week who does business in Europe and the UK solely, and he said the biggest issue is the delay in having an outcome. Because, again, we're all sitting on our hands waiting to see how things turn out so we can go back to doing business. He said, you know, if Brexit's hard or Brexit's soft or we don't do a Brexit, it doesn't really matter in the long term. In the short term, obviously, a hard Brexit might cause more disruption, but supply chains normalize, and at the end of the day, at the end of time, as the economies and supply chains adjust, things go back to normal.
Well, one area where we haven't seen normal, at least by the standards of, say, you know, my lifetime, is interest rates. They haven't been normal for a long time. They've been ultra low. And they've, as much as we think of them being low here and moving lower, they have been even lower in Europe. When you look at some places that have negative yields and you're looking at the interest rate picture in Europe, in Japan, and elsewhere, how is that affecting things? And how does that make you feel? I know that, you know, your focus is equities, but what does that do for you at all when it comes to the bond market?
Sure. Well, interest rates generally are the base rate through which all other financial assets gets measured. And so interest rates are and have been the elephant in the room for quite some time. Fortunately for the world right now, the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency, and it has a positive yield. And that's helping everyone else still act in a somewhat normal fashion. If you look at the EU or you look at Japan, who owns all the bonds? It's the central banks and it's the banks. Real investors don't go and buy a security where I have to pay them money for the joy of owning it. So, you know, in an easy sense, you'd say, well, lower interest rates makes asset prices go up. Okay, yay, that's good. But in these negative rates, things start to break down a little bit, and luckily the U.S. Has not driven rates to the lows that we've seen around the world, and I think that's really, really helping everyone else out. You look at what Japan's done, you look at what Europe's doing with rates, and it hasn't helped their economies. And I don't see anything that's going to help their economies based upon driving rates. It helps the banks in terms of being able to book profits on their balance sheets because of selling the central banks their bonds that they own at a higher value than what they paid. But other than that, it just does not make economic sense in a capitalistic system.
Now let's take a look forward and we're entering or about to enter the fourth quarter. And so as we get into the home stretch with all of these things there and everybody in a wait and see kind of mode, well, wait and see politically, wait and see economically at a point where we have a global manufacturing recession does not mean that the markets are going to wait and see. So is there a part of the world that you think this is where I want to invest right now? And is there a part of the world that you say I want to avoid? Or is it all we just, because of that holding pattern that everybody else is in, we're going to stick with our base allocations, maybe keep a little powder dry and see what we can do going forward?
We have some powder, but it's not an intentional allocation, if you will. The way we think about it is we really look at more individual stocks. And if you look at the economies, whether it's here, whether it's in Germany, whether it's in Japan, the consumers are doing very well, and we don't see any imminent issue within any of those economies from the consumer side. It's all being driven from a manufacturing side, partly from this backup with the trade wars circulating, and partly related to the auto industries throughout the world, which peaked a year and a half ago or something, and that's causing a lot of backup within the manufacturing system. Outside of that, things look pretty good, and if you look at the dispersion of valuations and performance in international markets relative to the U.S. over the last 5-7 years, we're at historic wides in terms of the valuation differential between where the U.S. is and where the rest of the world is. And when you think about it, the exposure to the U.S. versus international, whether you're based in the U.S., you know, geographically, or whether you're based in Germany or Tokyo or wherever, it's pretty much the same. And so we view that as an opportunity to buy, but be careful of the general economic surroundings.
Bill, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
That's Bill Kornitzer, Portfolio Manager for Buffalo International Fund. Go to buffalofunds.com, on Twitter @BuffaloFunds for more information. Money Life will be right back.